SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews,
taking you inside the sport of kings. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, SiriusXM, hour three on this Tuesday, and we'll try to make every day special when we're talking about horse racing. It's extra special when we can bring someone like Jack Whitaker to At the Races to lend a real air of gravitas. Jack, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Jack, I'm delighted to have you and share some time with you and with the audience, because all of us, of course, grew up enjoying your coverage, particularly of horse racing and virtually everything else that you graced with your long Hall of Fame career.
Well, thank you very much.
There's so many things we could talk about, and I certainly am going to spend some time on one particular broadcast, and that of Secretariat's Belmont, a race and an individual moment in sports history that you've identified as the one that comes to mind most often when someone asks you what was the greatest spectacle you've ever seen.
Yes, I always use that because I think, at that time, anyway, it was the most dominating victory of any sport I'd ever seen. I guess maybe Tiger might have tied it with his win in one of the Opens when he spanned the field, but the Secretariat thing was just incredible.
In terms of what you've seen and the breadth of your career, it is remarkable when you read through the annals and the 60s, even the 50s, of course, and when you were just getting started into the 70s, 80s, and beyond. And when I see the experiences before we got to know you on television, of course, people in Pennsylvania got to see you and hear you before people did on the national stage. But talk a little bit about your interest and what drew you into communications and into broadcast journalism.
Well, I'd always been a big radio fan. And when I got out of college, I figured I'd like to try get a job in radio before I went to law school or something. And I was very fortunate because right after the war in 1947, the FCC released hundreds and hundreds of new frequencies, and little towns that never had radio stations before all of a sudden had one or two. And I got a job in one of those small towns, Pottsville, Pennsylvania, about 30,000 population, and had two radio stations. And that's where you learned to do a lot of things. You had to open the station in the morning. You had to clean off the wire for the news machines. And you had to do the news. You had to be a disc jockey. You had to put on the mayor and the clergyman. And you did man in the street. So it was a very good educational process. And then 47, of course, I just saw television coming, and I was very fortunate that I had 3 years in radio, so I had some kind of experience and got the job.
You were broadcasting the early, the 50s era NFL, Eagle games from Franklin Field and Giant games from Yankee Stadium, and you, at that time, were part of a legendary array of talent, in particularly in Philadelphia, Jack. And I'm curious about why there was such a concentration of names. Greatest voice of all, John Facenda.
Well, I guess it must be something in the water. But we did have at my station in Philadelphia, the CBS outlet there, we had two or three producers that went up and gained fame: Frank Chikinian, Tony Verna, with John Facenda, of course, Ed McMahon. That was kind of a pretty good stable down there. And a lot of us went on to nicer things.
You know, it's been a pleasure for me the last few summers at Saratoga to get to know Tommy Roberts, and Tommy has a very similar kind of story that you
exactly.
know, brought him, right?
Right, exactly.
When you mentioned Ed McMahon and the story that you told with at the American Sportscasters at the website, Fran Healy interviewed you a couple of years ago, and it's a tremendously entertaining story, and it was immediately evocative about you and Ed McMahon traveling up to New York. You were working at night in at WCAU in Philly, and then during the day you were tromping New York trying to, you know, land the next important job. And of course,
yep.
Ed ended up with Johnny Carson out of that.
He certainly did. Yeah, it was a. Some things happened. CBS bought the station in Philadelphia. And when they did that, they knocked off. We had a nice half hour from 11 to 11:30. I did 10 minutes of sports, and then McMahon came in with a five-minute lovely little show business essay thing. And when CBS bought the station, they cut the 11 to 11:30 to 15 minutes and knocked off the sports, knocked off Ed. And they did that in order to get a jump on the late movie, hoping that would take some viewers away from Jack Parr on The Tonight Show. And so that was quite a very harsh moment for a lot of us. They made me a weatherman, and that wasn't very happy for me, so I started to go to New York, and Ed, of course, by then had hooked up with Johnny Carson, and the rest there, as they say, is history. 30-some years he lasted with that, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you look through the stops, whether it was at what would come ultimately at CBS and ABC, I'm stunned by the array of talent that you worked with and in many cases helped foster. But when it comes to, you know, the kinds of people like Jim McKay and Chris Schenkel and Dick Schaap and Frank Wright and, you know, on and on and on. I mean, talk about the people, Jack, that you spend time with on the air and behind the scenes.
Well, I was very fortunate because of the people I work with. I did 3 years of baseball with Frankie Frisch, and I could write two books on that. And in football, I worked with Frank Gifford, and in golf with Ken Venturi and Dave Marr, people like that, and Frank Wright, of course, in racing, and it was just a sheer delight. I got a PhD in all those sports from those people. It was just great stuff, and I think it's still going on. I think the athletes that come into this business now, they'll share their knowledge and insights with the anchor people, so it's a good deal.
Talk about that a little bit, Jack, and I want to exactly segue to the modern era in broadcasting, because I suppose the athlete in the booth, if we think back to Howard Cosell's, you know, famous reference to the jockocracy, and
yeah.
In terms of what we see, I will say that in one of the amazing transitions of sports broadcasting is the polish and the insight of the retired athlete in the broadcast booth. There are less and less people like you and Jim McKay, and more former athletes and coaches who are much more reliable and much more interesting to listen to.
Well, yes, and I think it's been generally a good thing, because they bring, you know, if you've coached or played the game, you know it a little better than somebody that hasn't. And I think generally it's been very good. And what's happened, I think, in the last generation or so, a lot of these athletes saw the fact that television was there, and they kind of prepared for it, taking classes and, you know, speaking and diction and things like that. So I think that from that standpoint, it's gotten a lot better.
In terms of the way in which sports is presented, we've we certainly are respectful of what ESPN managed to accomplish from very humble beginnings. And at the same time, there's also the feeling that there's a lot more concern about entertainment and hoopla and presentation than there is about authentic analysis and real focus on the actual sports and the actual moments in time, and that the presenters are working to be as much a part of the story as the event itself. I'm curious if you have a reaction to that concept.
Well, I'm from an old school, and when you become part of the story, you're not doing your job, unless it's, a dramatic situation of some kind. You shouldn't intrude in any way. You should just be the guy that's the traffic cop. And the good ones do that. People like Jim Nance, and he works with four different golf pros, and he has to make sure that everything works. He's a traffic cop, and he does it very well. So if you become part of the story, you might be in trouble.
We're going to take a break in a little bit and come back and pick out a moment that is really special. We're going to listen to you and Frank Wright and Haywood Hale Bruin from the 73 Belmont. But before we go to the break, I'll follow up that point, Jack. In terms of the athletes and the way in which there's been this transition from the sportscaster and the sports writer literally making more money than the athletes to now the athletes being instant multimillionaires. In fact, I think you used that terminology. That's been as much a watershed and a change of the landscape as anything that's happened from the time you started and today.
Oh, absolutely. It's changed the whole dynamics. It's made it almost an adversarial relationship has arisen in some cases, completely different than when I was there.
And in fact, it almost seems like the gossip culture that pervades in entertainment, it's now translated into the sports world. And I a number of years ago on Tony Kornheiser's radio show, we had an exchange where he made the reference about not godding up the athlete, but at the same time there was certainly a period where the sports writer and sports broadcaster held the athlete that was being covered with a degree of reverence.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, that's an old line from that Stanley Woodward, the great editor of the New York Herald Tribune, sent a wire to Red Smith at spring training and said, stop godding up these athletes. And I think you're right. In the early days of television, we were godding them up. And it was more of a partnership between the players and the people covering them in those days. And then as expansion came and their salaries got bigger and bigger, I said the dynamic has changed. And I don't know whether that's good or bad. It's not as comfortable anyway.
Well, it is a real comfort to hear the incredibly recognizable voice of Jack Whitaker joining us on At the Races. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to listen to about 4 or 5 minutes in three segments of Jack and Frank Wright and Woody Bruin covering the 1973 Belmont Stakes, a moment in time that, as Jack, you'll hear Jack say, will be tough to duplicate. Back after this, more with Jack Whitaker.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Handicappers, it's time for you to step up to the plate and hit one way out of the park. Go to bat in ExpressBet Live online at ExpressBet.com Saturday, March 24th and take your healthiest home run swing. Win one of four rich Vegas tournament seats plus $500 for airfare and tournament lodging, or earn a cool grand and free registration to ExpressBet Showdown, a $300 value each. Registration for ExpressBet Live is open now at ExpressBet.com. The tournament is restricted to account holders only, so you don't have to beat the world to win. Play ExpressBet Live with no takeout, skim or rake. All fees are returned to players in cash or prizes. Visit ExpressBet.com today for more information, to register for Live, and to open a no-fee ExpressBet account. Play long ball with ExpressBet Live.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years?
Gulch is right there. Gulch emerging with the lead. Play the King. It's Gulch. Play the King. Here's the wire. And Gulch has won it.
At Old Friends Farm in Kentucky, Breeders' Cup champion Gulch lives alongside Secretariat's greatest living son, Tinner's Way. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Dick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races. An appropriate Philadelphia-esque musical number. Jack Whitaker is with us from the winter base in California and headed back east, Jack, in April, I think?
Yes, that's right, Steve.
We going to get you up to Saratoga this summer?
Well, I hope so. I sure haven't been up there in about 3 years, and I miss it. It's one of the great places. One of the great things about doing horse racing is going to Saratoga, and I hope maybe we can get up there.
Well, Randy Moss was very instrumental in having you join us today. And, of course, Randy will be part of the NBC coverage, the Summer at Saratoga series, which was so successful last year and is extended to Keeneland. And it's going to be even further extended with the help of the Jockey Club as well. So Randy will be on hand, and we certainly would love to have you at Saratoga this summer. I am looking forward to this portion of the conversation because we're going to listen to some cuts from the broadcast in 1973, of course, with Secretariat. And to set it up, here's Jack's introduction to the broadcast.
You're looking at part of the 69,100 and some fans who have turned out here to see if Secretariat can do the trick today. One of the largest racing crowds in New York. It is not the biggest here. Canyon Arrow's year, they had 82,000, but 69, you're near 70,000 here. There's a very tremendous turnout. On a day that has been very warm and very breezy, there is a certain threat of thunder showers late in the afternoon, the Weather Bureau said, but as of now, it is warm and windy. You may see the flag there blowing down the stretch and gusting sometimes at a considerable velocity. We're looking at the walking ring now as the riders are already up. And the beautiful walking ring and paddock at Belmont Park behind the grandstands on the other side from the track. And as you can see, a tremendous crowd in there for this most important and exciting race.
Jack, at that point, of course, things are getting ready to move to the front side, and you cut away to a very sweet moment where Woody Bruin interviewed Penny Chenery and the family.
Yes, I remember.
The atmosphere, you know, there hadn't been a Triple Crown winner in decades. And talk from what you recall in terms of the atmosphere, because, of course, when Smarty Jones tried, if we go back to mid-decade, there was over 100,000. And it's amazing that there were barely 70,000 on hand at Belmont that day.
Indeed. As I said, Canyonero II, I think, had 82,000. And I don't know why there was a drop-off, because there hadn't been a Triple Crown winner in 25 years. Canyonero II was going for it and didn't make it. Majestic Prince had tried for it and didn't make it. Who else? There were a few others that won the first two and then couldn't make it to the Belmont. So I can't explain why the crowd wasn't bigger, but it was a very festive crowd and very, I think the biggest, most fun crowd was for Canyonero, because there were mariachi bands all over the place and people were having a great time. And we had a thing set up to talk with the president of Venezuela. And of course, it didn't happen when he didn't win the race. But the secretariat crowd, while smaller, was very excited.
In terms of expectation from a straight handicapping and a straight, you know, racing story point of view, how prepared were you and Woody Bruin and Frank Wright and everybody on hand for what was going to transpire?
Well, we all hoped, of course, for a Triple Crown winner, and we had all been there before when it didn't happen. And so I think we were a little scared and a little excited. At the weather there, we got a good break on the weather. I said it was kind of windy. And got, right after the race, they had a biblical thunderstorm with hailstones and everything else. just about a half hour after the race. So we were very fortunate that way. But there was a lot of electric excitement in the air. He was an electric personality, that horse, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think back. I just know it was a very exciting time.
Let's listen to the second half of the call, because it builds to a crescendo, of course, as Secretariat begins to move in a way that seemed implausible and impossible to continue the momentum. Let's pick up Chick Anderson's call.
Secretariat is blazing along. The first three quarters of a mile in 109 and 4/5. Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Sham is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today, as My Gallant and Vice of Prince are both coming up to him now. But Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost a 16th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that seems impossible to catch. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Price of Prince is taken second, and My Gallant is moved back to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front. It's going to be Price of Prince second, My Gallant third, Private Smiles fourth, and Sham, who had it today, dropped back to fifth. An amazing, unbelievable performance by this miracle horse. And look at Mrs. Sweetie. She has the time of her life. She and Lucian Lawrence, who own this most magnificent animal, who has today run the most sensational Belmont Stakes in the history of this race. Secretariat has accomplished the unbelievable task of breaking the mile-and-a-half record by 2 3/5 seconds. That is a record that may stand forever. The time of this race, 2:24. Almost unbelievable.
Well, there it is, Jack, and you can hear and you can literally feel in your chest as Secretariat enters the stretch, the welling of almost a hysterical reaction from the crowd at Belmont. Give your impressions and how do you gather your thoughts to be able to come on after Anderson's call?
Well, thank you for playing that, because it's just as thrilling now as it was. And what a masterful call by Chick, huh? Moving like a tremendous machine. That said it all for that day. It's hard to put in words. It was such an overwhelming performance, and the emotion and it's hard to tell you right now. After hearing it again, it sends chills up my spine.
What we'll hear now with Jack is exactly how, indeed, he gathered himself, and as did Frank Wright and Woody Bruin. And one of the things that I certainly am anxious to hear from Jack Whitaker is the response to Woody Bruin's almost instantaneous summary. It's remarkable, because Bruin will very succinctly, in maybe three lines, summarize what it was that he saw. And Jack Whitaker's back with us. And Jack, we're going to listen here now to what follows after the break. And here's you and Frank Wright, and then a Haywood Hale Bruin moment that we don't see too often anymore in broadcasting. Here's the post-race comments of Jack and Frank Wright.
Unbelievable is all you're hearing down here in the winner's circle. And this horse, we haven't been able to digest it yet ourselves, Frank Wright, have we?
Count Fleet, man of war, and comparing to all the great ones, and he certainly deserves it, Jack. What an incredible effort. Demolished that field, and absolutely demolished him.
No contest. Listen to the crowd. Listen.
A gallant wave of the hat by Turcotte, and he certainly should be proud of what he and his horse did today, Jack.
My goodness, never in my dreams did I think it would be a race of that kind. And all our talk about the last quarter of a mile.
Oh, every quarter was brilliant today.
Woody Bruin, are you somewhere in this cacophony of noise? Where are you? Woody Bruin?
Well, 3,000 years ago, that's a funny beginning, when they brought the first racehorses out of the valleys of Turkestan, the Emperor of China called them heavenly horses when he saw them. And this was a heavenly horse today. This was that old cliche, the big bird flying. And as he drew out, I think the feeling that most in the crowd had was disbelief. You could not imagine the way in which, inexorably, frighteningly, it was one length, two lengths, three lengths, and so on, until the final great lead as he came down the stretch. Not a horse race, but a triumphal one-horse procession. I've never seen anything like it. Have you, Jack Whitaker?
Thank you, Woody. The carnations, he's had the roses, the daisies, the carnations. He'll get anything he wants now. Across his withers, 31 lengths is the official margin of victory by Secretariat, 25 by Count Fleet, I think, had it been the last one.
Kenny Noe told us that he would separate them by 4 or 5 pounds. I believe Dick Butkus could have ridden this horse today and won. I don't believe there's a weight that could bring him together.
Carry Ray Nitschke with him. They're going to ride double on him.
Jack, there it is. And between your summary and Frank Wright's reaction and then Haywood Hale Bruin.
Woody was something special, wasn't he? How he came up with that just in an instant, you know. They were great days. Great days, Steve.
I told people at the beginning of the show, Jack, today, in anticipation of your visit, I met Haywood Hale Bruin at the track at Belmont, and it was something so special to me. And I'm 52 years old, and with a great appreciation and respect for the kind of lyrical and literate and erudite presentation that you and Jim McKay and a Haywood Hale Bruin brought to the the broadcast that I grew up watching. And it was so natural and so unforced. It's something that is just so absent today.
Well, it's different today. I mean, the stakes are a little higher, different, and different generations, too. You know, attitudes are different. So I feel very fortunate that came along when I did, and certainly in the days of Secretariat. And you know, the 70s was the last great decade in this sport, wasn't it? My God, the great horses we had. We had those three Triple Crown winners. And both sides of the Atlantic, they had great horses over in England, France. It was a great time to be in horse racing, I'll tell you that.
Well, and you've said repeatedly that you came along at just a great time in general, and that the era kind of washed over you and people like McKay and Schenkel, and something so special to listen. And I suppose it's just because of you know, those of us that grew up watching we just miss, Jack, what you and the greats brought to these moments.
Well, thank you. I'm glad some people do remember it. But life goes on. They do things today we couldn't possibly do. But the basics remain. The sport is the sport. And there are winners and losers, and you report on them. And you hope another secretariat will come along. And that makes your life a lot better.
Exactly. And that's one of the things about this sport. That's what keeps the horsemen and the owners and the breeders, the players, the fans. We all go to the track, and we all anticipate Derby and now in recent decades the Breeders' Cup, waiting and looking forward, anticipating a great moment. And the ones that I'm not going to bring up some of the sadder moments, and you certainly were on hand for many of those in racing and elsewhere.
Oh, but, yeah, as great as that day at Belmont was. It was the Saturday at Belmont when, here goes my memory now, the match race when...
The Ruffian and Foolish Pleasure.
When Ruffian went down, that was a tough day, I'll tell you. So we had the high and the low there.
Well, the exultation the adulation that comes with, you know, with the great moments.
That's the sport.
Exactly. Jack Whitaker, a complete delight to share this time with you, and I certainly hope we can have another visit this summer. I do the show from Saratoga every morning, and it would be delightful to sit in the shadows of the tall trees at Saratoga and have another conversation. I can't thank you
enough.
Oh,
thanks, Steve. I love that. Say hello to everybody at the wishing well, will you?
Yeah. You got it, Jack Whitaker.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Whitaker, everybody, and obviously just a somebody who not only got the privilege of seeing all these great moments, but is indelibly imprinted on those moments. That's why I wanted to take those cuts out of the Secretariat Belmont broadcast and share it and get Jack's reaction. Let's take a break. We're going to turn around and get back to the immediate, which includes a way for fans and horse players to learn about the sport in a most modern of methods, and that is night school at horseplayernow.com. Jeremy Plonk joins us after the break. Stay where you are.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
All right, carry the four, plus two, I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapper Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. $500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapping tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.